The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I have an in for Pat all this week. Well, it's been 5 years to the day since the then Taoiseach Leo Varadkar announced that schools, colleges and childcare facilities in Ireland would close until the 29th of March because of COVID-19. Well, on this five-year anniversary, who better than Professor Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at the School of Immunology in TCD and also lead singer with the Metabolics, to join us on the line. How are you, Luke?
Not too bad, Ivan. How's it going?
Good, good. Now, you tell me there are some positive legacies from COVID-19. Tell us them.
There are, Ivan. I mean, what's happening is, of course, we're looking back on it now kind of in awe in some ways, in amazement. But there are some positives for definite. Let's always start with a positive. One that you mightn't expect is oxygen. And it's a strange one. So you may remember people in hospital were put on oxygen and there was a shortage of oxygen. It was a huge problem, especially in low and middle income countries. That improved massively. And they managed to get loads of oxygen into hospitals, basically. And it's happening now, and especially in developing countries, there's more oxygen available. That sounds like a minor thing, but oxygen can really save lives. The second big one, Ivan, is disease surveillance has improved. And as you may have come across, they're testing water a lot for viruses and bacteria and so on. That's improved massively in many countries as well. And of course, that's about getting ready for the next pandemic in some ways. If we've better surveillance, we might see it coming. So there are two examples of things that have changed.
Okay, and we'll drill into those. I would have thought the big improvement was that we had these RNA vaccines that didn't seem to exist beforehand, which was a different type of science in terms of prevention. Would that be fair?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Now, the thing is, we haven't any new ones. I mean, obviously, they were invented for COVID and they did really work. They stopped people getting severe disease, which I remember at the time people would say that they don't really work because they don't stop you getting infected, which is true. But they do stop you getting really bad illness. And that's a real benefit, obviously. So the fact that they were invented was a great thing. And now the future, of course, if and when the next pandemic arrives, we can deploy the RNA technology very quickly. I think the other big one is they're now being used in cancer. They're developing vaccines for cancer using that technology as well. So in terms of a kind of a new invention that came on the back of the crisis, the RNA vaccines will be seen as a real advance.
Just on that, like, you get a cancer diagnosis, is it too late to get the vaccine? Are you talking about a kind of public health policy of people at risk, hereditary or whatever?
No. Great question.
Would it work? Yeah.
They're therapeutic vaccines. So what happens is you're diagnosed. Right. You're diagnosed with breast cancer or lung cancer. Then you make the vaccine, give it to the person, and it wakes up the immune system to attack the cancer, you know. And it's really effective in that way. Well, there's lots of trials running at the moment. And then very importantly, the way vaccines work, as you may know, is if the cancer comes back, your immune system can now kill it quickly, just like an infection, you know, and cancer can recur. So the hope is these cancer vaccines will stop. They'll be used as a therapy initially, and then they'll stop recurrences is where they're heading in that direction.
I'm somewhat surprised about the oxygen question insofar as that, you know, way before COVID was ever heard tell of, you know, people would have their mask on when you visit them in hospital, their breathing would be bad. They'd either have the mask or the two little pipes that fit up your nose lightly. And you actually see people walking around with them. Like, surely oxygen wasn't invented in COVID, was it, that they didn't produce enough of it?
That's right. It was supply issues. So there wasn't enough, really, you know. And now in Ireland, we have good hospitals, you know. It's more the middle-income countries where there was a big crisis. And I remember vividly, you'd have seen scenes in Brazil and places of relatives desperate to get oxygen to the hospital kind of thing, you know. So it's more to do with those low, middle-income places. One study, 9 in 10 hospitals in Africa didn't have enough, you know. But now they've managed to get oxygen supplies into these hospitals. So, again, it's seen as a real positive one.
Now, one of the things that was different from the start of COVID to the end of COVID was the testing. You had to go to certain centres. And I remember Pat Kenny, the scientist that he is, was advocating the antigen testing. And by the end, the official stats were based on antigen. What actually happened about testing?
Yeah, that's another advance, by the way. Like the notion of home testing when you trust the patient to test themselves, that idea. Doctors didn't like that idea because they think they might get the test wrong or it might be done badly or whatever. You know, COVID taught us it's very possible for, you know, average people to do these tests and they can be useful. So that's a change in perception now that home testing worked in COVID. And now, of course, the future could be more and more of that. So it should encourage the notion of home testing. And the reluctance, Ivan, as you may remember, was the worry that the people wouldn't do it properly. And you might get a negative and you're actually positive and go and infect someone, you know. And of course, it turns out that the Irish were well able to shove a swab up their nose and then stick it in the tube and see if it's positive or negative. So that's another development that we think is a positive out of COVID.
Okay, before we get on to our preparedness for another pandemic, I have to have a bit of a rant, Luke, because I know you well enough that you'll take this in the spirit that it's intended. So unlike biochemists, I have nothing good to say about the pandemic or the negatives I see. One, if you look at education attendance rates, they've never recovered. If you look at social contact, people change the way they go to funerals. They now put things on RIP. The way weddings are organised has changed in relation to the taxpayer. It cost 40 billion euros net. So I put it to you that this, and I know people whose habits of going to sporting events and so on, maybe older people, were permanently changed. Like in my 65-year lifetime, there was nothing as negative as the pandemic. What say you?
Yeah, well, it's a shame, definitely, Ivan. That's a negative consequence, of course it is, from what happened, you know. But you've got to remember, and the Taoiseach himself, Leo Varadkar, on that day, in 12th of March, this is uncharted territory. This is a brand new virus. So they were doing things on the hoof, kind of, you know, and introducing measures here and there and trying various things, you know. And they were very worried that this virus could kill lots of people. So that's one reason why these things happened, I suppose. I think it was probably too stringent overall, if you look at looking back. And it's easy now from a distance to say that. I think the education one is an important one. That's more complicated than it seems, Ivan. The teachers' unions, remember, didn't want their teachers going into schools, for example, you know. So it wasn't simply a case of let's open up all the schools. So it wasn't as straightforward as that, you know. I think the other thing I'd say, I've seen something, Sweden's interesting, Ivan, is, I remember Sweden had a more
they continued living.
They did, yeah. But they're seeing the same mental health issues in the young people, even though they kept the schools open, you know. So it's a complicated one.
But like for a lot of employers now, the world of work has changed. There is no health reason for people to be working from home, and they just can't get people back to the office.
Yeah, that's a huge, in fact, it lists two big effects of it. One is working from home. It was happening anyway, as you would remember. That's a massive change for society, isn't it? Let's face it. There's one legacy of this. The second one is long COVID. There's still people walking around with prolonged symptoms. And that's another feature that would be evident now after the pandemic. But in terms of the public health measures, I think it's a tough one because, as I say, it was an emergency. And all those things were introduced. And looking back on it now, they were a bit too stringent. That's very important for the next pandemic. We got to avoid lockdown at all costs when the next pandemic comes along.
Okay.
And let's hope we'll have measures that allow us to do that. You know?
So I've seen flu scares, swine flu, bird flu, Asian flu. What's the next flu?
Well, that's the next question, you see. And you accuse me of being a little boy cried wolf. I bet you next. But the worry, but there is no doubt. All the experts agree that we'll be another pandemic. They come up every so often. People forget the swine flu one in 2009. Remember that one? 500,000 people died of swine flu at that time, you know. And we seem to have forgotten that. And
but then some of these people, a breeze had knocked them over.
Well, that's the other possibility, I suppose, yeah.
Like, there are people in their 90s that if a flu doesn't get them, something else will.
Well, that was the Boris Johnson argument, wasn't it? In a way, they're going to die anyway, so what are we worried about, you know? Sadly, we didn't follow those guidelines, I don't think. But in terms of what's going to happen next, they're watching this close. The good news is we're now surveying this and trying to look as to what might happen next. The big concern is flu H5N1. You may have seen the price of eggs go up in America, which is causing consternation. That's because they've killed all the hens because they were carrying the bird flu. It's called H5N1. The concern there is it'll jump and become human-to-human transmission as opposed to, say, chicken-to-human. If that happens, then we'll see another pandemic start. Now, the question then is, what do we do about it? And as we just said, we can deploy the RNA. We can make an RNA vaccine within 2 or 3 months now, which would be tremendous. And for me, Ivan, that gives governments confidence not to lock down. You know, if there's a vaccine there, you don't need to lock down. So hence, to make a vaccine quickly will be possible if H5N1 is the one that comes and gets us. But at the moment, it's very hard to predict. It could be next year. It could be 10 years. It could be 20 years. You know, the big ones crop up every 10 or 20 years kind of thing. So we just got to keep an eye on things, really, is the idea.
Finally, how are the metabolics doing? Any gigs?
Doing great. We have a gig coming up, yes. And well, I plug it.
Go on. Like, you need to spend more time with your money. Carry on, yeah.
I do. So, we have a kind of residency in Walters in Dunleary, I'll have you know. Mainly for people of your age and my age, basically. We play all the hits. So the next gig is in about 5 weeks in Walters. Everybody's welcome. You know?
Unmissable. All right, Professor Luke O'Neill, as always on a Wednesday on the show, thank you for joining us. Now, come...
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.